scrambling to get the attention of our clients and prospects online, right? You want to be first when those Google search results pop up, or you want your banner ad to pop out at them on some third-party site. But that all really depends on if they come looking for you. I've got a better idea. What if you could go right to them? And I'm not just talking online. I'm talking about reaching them at a conference, an event, even on a subway platform. No, this is not wishful thinking. Let me put it in context for you. Context-aware computing, that is. And better yet, let me have Gartner analyst Bill Clark put it in context for you. Bill, welcome to Talking Technology.
Thanks, Scott.
Bill, context-aware computing. I know it's gaining more and more attention, especially here at Gartner. I know we're starting to talk more and more about it. And you have a note out on it, Key Issues for Context-Aware Computing 2010. There was a line that really caught my attention right off the bat. During 2010 through 2015, Gartner believes that the bar for user experience will be significantly raised and context-aware computing will be its chief catalyst. What is context-aware computing?
Well, context-aware computing is about applications and systems that are situation-aware and that are aware of what end users have been doing, what they are likely to be doing, so that these systems and applications can become very personal. And they can add a stage of personalization to the rendering of content so that they start removing the number of actions that a user takes to get at a particular point in a process or to make a particular decision if they're a consumer. So it's really about taking where we are today with the web and search, where the user has to be a little bit proactive, and starting to anticipate so that at least at the first order, the content is coming to them in the form that they prefer at the time that makes the most sense. We have a term that we've used for a while called at the moment of choice or moment of truth. And as an analogy, you know, think about on the web, you as a user have to drive that. You have to get on the web, you have to go to a website, you have to search, you have to drill down, pull out the kinds of things that you're wanting to do. If you're trying to arrange your social calendar or if you're trying to make a buying decision, you have to go digging around to the various kinds of websites to get information. In the world of context, that kind of information is coming to you whether you're standing at a kiosk, whether it's coming to you on your smartphone, or whether it's coming to you when you get into your car or walk into your home. So it's that notion that really drove us to talk about the fact that context is really a catalyst towards the next level of user experience.
So let's turn then to how it will get us there. What role will it play, for instance, in next generation consumer user experiences and also applications?
One example that I'll use is the example of electronic billboards or signage. So one role, and in this case, a lot of our examples center around the smartphone because the smartphone is having such a major impact on IT in general. But if you consider electronic signage, there are actually vendors like Cisco and Harris who are baked into solutions that are actually using video streams to analyze crowds to figure out what kind of demographics are present, what kind of clothing is being worn, so that they can tune the signage that's in an area. So take an example of a subway. You have these vision systems that can actually tune the experience for the users based on who those users are. That's one example. Another example at a core is around search. We've seen Google begin to customize search based on location. We've seen Apple apply and receive patents for location-based advertising. And so for consumers carrying smartphones who are, especially in North America and Europe, increasingly using app stores, it's changing that experience so that it starts to take into account your location. And furthermore, if you look at companies like Nokia, we're getting more and more integration with social media, with Facebook, so that it's beginning to integrate the kind of groups that you belong to in with your consumer experience. So it starts shaping that.
I want to build off, if I could quickly, the first example you gave was the one about the billboard. So you're saying it's like if, say, a sporting event lets out, a baseball game here in the U.S., maybe soccer, let's be fair to our European listeners, football match over in Europe, they come out, the fans go to the subway platform, and it suddenly can shift the advertising to show, say, like a beer advertisement or something as opposed to a more business-oriented one?
Right, right. Or if it detects that everybody's wearing a Manchester United soccer jersey, it could then shift the advertising towards that particular allegiance. Or in the case of Apple, in some of the patents that they filed, they used an example of a music concert where you walk out of the concert, it knows, based on your location, where you are, it also knows your preferences. It might even know down to the level of which person in the band is your favorite person. And so it might select and push to you a track that features that particular person within the band. And then also, if you kind of turn that outward-facing, then it might encourage you to send a tweet on Twitter, or it might encourage you to do a post on Facebook of the cool picture that you just took outside the venue. That gets to all of your group of friends and potentially pushes mobile advertising into a new realm where it's targeting groups of people based on your associations. So in 2009, mobile advertising grew by about 70%. And given the macroeconomic climate worldwide, that's pretty striking to find any segment in the economy, especially in advertising where there was a lot of cuts, that's actually grew by double digits, let alone 70%.
All right, we were talking mainly from the user experience and how they can get specific information or products targeted at us. But within that answer, you really foreshadowed part of the answer to my next question, which is, so then what role will context-aware computing play in enhancing business performance?
Yeah, in terms of business performance, it really falls into two opportunities. One set of opportunities is around enhancing specific processes. So think of the delivery person that is bringing you goods or services to your home. They already, in the last 10 or 15 years, for the most part, many organizations have moved into mobile. So you expect that person to show up with a smartphone or some kind of computing device. Very much in the last decade, you would also expect that person to probably be leveraging GPS, if not just to find their way and be more efficient in how they travel between their appointments. Well, the next step is to start to leverage things like presence, which says, let's say I'm a technician working on a piece of equipment and I'm having some issues. Well, that technician with context-aware computing can look up and have an integrated display that would have the presence and availability of colleagues who maybe have expertise in that same piece of equipment. So that instead of that person running into a bump and having to consult manuals and whatnot, they could actually just hit a button and begin to converse with that colleague. You know, one example of a structured business process that is enhanced with context. And it's kind of a logical stepping stone from an area that Gartner's covered for the past 3 or 4 years called communications-enabled business processes. So that's that first set of opportunities. It's really wrapped around structured processes and kind of raising the bar on those. Now, the second opportunity is a little softer in terms of being able to measure the benefits. It's around knowledge workers. And it looks at, let's say you're a pharma company or some company that's heavily into research and development, and you have timelines for bringing innovation to market, and you have perhaps knowledge workers, perhaps PhDs. You're looking at the social aspects of, well, how do they collaborate? And do they always collaborate with the same parts of your business? Are they collaborating with people outside of your business? And one of the things that when you start talking about collaboration and communication is that it's difficult sometimes to go across business unit boundaries or company boundaries when you're trying to collaborate. So context-aware computing is a way for those different systems to begin to mesh up so that you can get the best possible collaboration scenario going between people, even if they haven't done it before. And so in that area, we're looking at companies like IBM and Cisco and Microsoft as having technologies that would allow this ad hoc kind of unstructured collaboration to be enhanced by context. A specific example of how context can play into that, we've looked at search and looked at shaping the search results based on the kind of work that you do, the kind of peers that you have, and looking at further refinement of your search results based on that with the hope that it would make for a more efficient workforce.
Bill, thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome, Scott.
Research Director Bill Clark is one of Gartner's lead analysts on context-aware computing. And to find out more, look on Gartner.com for a wide range of research and tools on this topic, including Bill's research note, Key Issues for Context-Aware Computing, 2010.